Blog Talk Radio.
So you want your charity to succeed. It's no secret that combining online and offline techniques is the key to modern-day fundraising success, and practical advice is what you need. The Nonprofit Coach with Ted Hart is the perfect place to learn from experts around the world who, along with our host, provide advice you can use. Ted Hart is without a doubt one of the foremost nonprofit thought leaders. Also a successful author, his books cover a broad range of topics from major gift fundraising to use of social media and how to succeed online. Ted lectures around the world, but now he's here for you. From the latest in charity news, technology, fundraising, and social networking, Ted and his guests help you maneuver through this economic downturn in the charitable sector to greater levels of efficiency and fundraising success. Remember, this is a live call-in show. Become part of the show by adding your voice. Call now at 347-324-3080. After the show, you can find all our podcasts at tedhart.com. Just click on radio links. Don't forget to dial 347-324-3080. Now, welcome the host of the Nonprofit Coach, Ted Hart.
And this is Ted Hart coming to you live from the global headquarters of the Charities Aid Foundation of America. Today is Tuesday, June 4th, and this is our latest edition of the Nonprofit Coach. And we've got a really big show for you. I'm also mindful of the fact, and I'll be sharing with you the schedule between now and the end of the month, that we are coming very close to our summer hiatus. Those who are regular listeners know that the Nonprofit Coach suggests that you go off and enjoy your summer, so we do not have live shows in July and August, so we'll be back in September. But we do have a fantastic lineup for you for the remainder of this month, including today's show. We always start here on the Nonprofit Coach with Page One News. As the announcer mentioned, this is a live call-in show, so you can call in for our Page 2 expert at 347-324-3080. You can also join us over in the chat room and ask questions there, or simply email me at tedhart@tedhart.com. You can follow along with the radio links today, as always, over at tedhart.com. Click on radio links. First up comes to us from Daily Finance. Over in Daily Finance, they're making note of the six most generous states in America. Although Americans across the nation are generous in their giving, it's still interesting to see which states see the most charitable activity. One simple way of looking at generosity would be to simply look at total giving, as a report from the Chronicle of Philanthropy does on an annual basis, and the Giving USA report, which will be announced here on the Nonprofit Coach coming up, and I will share with you the details when we get to the announcement of our lineup between now and the end of June. But another way to look at the question is to examine the percentage of tax returns filed in each state that claim a deduction for charitable giving. When we take a look at it that way, the sixth most generous state in the United States is Virginia, followed by number five, Minnesota, number four is Utah, number three is Connecticut, number two is New Jersey, and topping the list with a whopping 40.1% of all tax returns, including a deduction for charitable donations with a median contribution of $2,969, leading to a giving of $3.9 billion, are the fine folks from the state of Maryland. You can find that list and that report over in the radio links today, and that comes to us from Daily Finance. Next up, we want to just draw your attention to a really terrific podcast that's a video cast that's available over on YouTube from one of the most popular guests here on the Nonprofit Coach, and that's Tom Ahern. Tom is an expert in donor communication, and he has podcast that we're sharing with you today coming to us from Fundraising Podcast, and this is on donor communication and flattering, and this is a new podcast. So find that link over in the radio links at tedhart.com. We also want to draw your attention to a terrific white paper that is now available from More Visibility. This is on writing effective web content. In the age of social web, effective web content is a key to reaching and growing your audience. As much as there is an art to writing effective content, there's also a science to targeting the right donors and customers with the right content. So you can go and download this free white paper, which will discuss the various tools for assessing what your audience needs, strategies for developing credibility with your audience, and tips for writing content that your audience will be able to find, read, and absorb. That comes to us from More Visibility. It's available for you here on the Nonprofit Coach Radio Show at tedhart.com. Next up here on the Nonprofit Coach is my pleasure to welcome back here to the Nonprofit Coach. Once a month we have someone from CFRE International coming to us, and usually we are graced with Ava Aldrich, the CEO at CFRE International. Welcome back here to the Nonprofit Coach, Ava Aldrich.
Thanks, Ted. It's good to be
Ava,
here.
Great to have you back. Today is time for the CFRE Minute. So bring us up to date on what's happening at CFRE.
Well, several exciting things. One thing, we are in the process of getting ready to meet with our participating organizations on June 5th, tomorrow. Our participating organizations are a group of nearly 20 fundraising associations worldwide that support their members in getting the CFRE credential. And one of our continued efforts to have more outreach to the CFRE community involves, you know, working more closely with them. So we are looking forward to getting all their input and insight in how we can better serve organizations like AFP, AHP, and others as we go forward and have a real partnership with them. We're also looking forward to the second testing window of the year. So that starts on June 7th. So everyone who's testing during the second testing window, we give them our best wishes and know they'll do well.
Well, we certainly wish everyone well. As we draw attention to CFRE, we are providing a link to your website over at tedhart.com in the radio links for today's show. I'm mindful, Ava, of the fact that we are winding down for the first half of the year. The Nonprofit Coach will be on summer hiatus for July and August. So given the fact that our CFRE Minute is once a month, we won't have the opportunity to chat again until September. So what advice do you have for our listeners in terms of maybe using a little bit of their summer to prepare for the CFRE exam or to prepare for the fall?
I would say go to the website link. We have all the resources you need to take a look to see what you need to do to prepare for the exam. We do have two more testing windows this year. One starts on August 23rd, and the other one will start on October 25th. So if it's something you want to accomplish this year, there's certainly time to do that. Also, Ted, when I talk with you in September, I hope to be able to have some very exciting news in terms of a much improved and easier application portal. We are in the process, as I've mentioned before in your show, of rebuilding our website and our member database, and so I'll be able to give an update in terms of the site is up and running. Please come and take a look and tell us what you think, or it will nearly be there, and I can give you a go-live date.
Oh, that's great. Well, I appreciate, of course, the updates here on the show to keep us posted on that. And it does seem like the summer, maybe a little bit of downtime, is a good time to prepare for either the August or the October exam timeframe. And we'll look forward to your CFRE Minute announcements in September. And it sounds like it's going to be an exciting one.
It will be.
Well, this has been Ava Aldrich here from CFRE International. Thank you again for providing us with the update here on the Nonprofit Coach.
You're welcome, Ted.
Take care. Have a wonderful summer.
You too.
Okay, bye now. We're back here on Page One News, and the next notice comes to us from the Chronicle of Philanthropy. Warren and Doris Buffett offer giving advice online. Now, everyone can get free giving advice from Warren Buffett and possibly some of his family's money to give away. Mr. Buffett plans to appear in a 6-session online course called Giving with Purpose, an offshoot of a series of college programs started by Mr. Buffett's older sister, Doris, and her grandson, Alex Rozek. Ms. Buffett and her grandson run the Learning with Giving Foundation, which provides $10,000 grants to groups of college students who spend a semester figuring out where to give the money, as well as absorb readings and other instruction about smart giving. The course is now offered at 30 colleges and universities, but now will be available online free. The link for this information, the information on how you can register with Giving with Purpose Foundation's website, is all available today in the radio links at tedhart.com. It comes to us from the Chronicle of Philanthropy. Next up here on the Nonprofit Coach is a free ebook, and this is an ebook from Jonathan Poisner, and this is Why Organizations Thrive: Lessons from the Front Line for Nonprofit Executive Directors. You don't want to miss this opportunity to download this terrific free ebook. And again, that link is available in the radio links today for all of the listeners of the Nonprofit Coach. We have 7 ways to be ahead of the curve in your event marketing. We're always mindful here on the Nonprofit Coach that the fall and holiday season seems to be filled with special events for nonprofit organizations. Well, the fine folks over at Cvent and their blog on event planning are providing you with 7 ways to get ahead of the curve. You'll find this link over in the radio links at tedhart.com. Early adopters of new technology have certainly had an advantage when it comes to online marketing, so it makes sense to be aware of the trends. Now, some of the trends here seem a little bit easier, and that's, of course, think long-term and having your strategy. But also, they're making a case for longer blog posts, multimedia, provide different media with which your audience can interact. Think e-books and e-readers, so thinking about how your content is going to be consumed. Mobile will soon be the most popular way to access the Internet. Mobile Internet is expected to overtake desktop Internet usage by 2014. According to Microsoft, your marketing should take this into account, and all of your websites should be mobile-friendly sooner rather than later. There's nothing more frustrating than using your smartphone to access a site that can barely be read on a mobile phone, so you want to be thinking ahead about that as well. Build a cadre of guest bloggers. These are your donors. These are, as we've mentioned here on the Nonprofit Coach, in the 6 pillars of success, you want to make sure that you are reaching out in social media to those who have influence. And don't leave content on the table. Finally, as you may have already guessed by now, quality content is a valuable commodity, so don't waste it by failing to use the content generated by your event. So photos and content, guests, bloggers, and folks who can endorse your organization is all free content and an opportunity for you to make stars out of those who come to your special events. So you want to check this out, some really good activity that you can put right into place for your fall giving. And this comes to us from Cvent, available over in the radio links at tedhart.com. With that, it is now time for us to head over to our Page 2 expert. It is really my pleasure to welcome here to the Nonprofit Coach a true expert in the field. A New York native, Andrea Kilstedt, brings more than 40 years' experience as a volunteer, professional fundraiser, and fundraising consultant to bear in her new book and the topic of our conversation today, Asking Styles, Harnessing Your Personal Fundraising Power. She serves on several nonprofit boards and is founding a concert recital series for young professional musicians. Kilstedt went on to found the Kilstedt Group, fundraising consulting company, in 1984. During her years as a consultant, Kilstedt's clients included American Civil Liberties Union, Planned Parenthood, Human Rights First, and Harlem RBI, an organization for inner-city youth. Kilstedt co-founded Asking Matters, an online resource for fundraising professionals, with partner Brian Saber in 2010. More recently, she has been developing Capital Campaign Magic with Gail Perry, and of course, Gail being a very popular guest here on The Nonprofit Coach. She's a graduate of the University of Pennsylvania and Brown University with advanced degrees in philanthropy. Kilstead is also a graduate of the Fellows Program in Change Management at Johns Hopkins University. And it's my pleasure to welcome such an accomplished author and consultant here to The Nonprofit Coach. Welcome here, Andrea.
Hi, Ted. Thank you so much for having me.
Andrea, you really, really are one of those people that do not need much introduction because you have done so much and helped so many people. You've got a fantastic new book that I'm wondering if you would start off by kind of giving us a background as to why develop asking styles, harnessing your personal fundraising power.
Yes, I'm happy, really happy to talk about that. I'm happy to talk about the whole concept of asking styles. You know, sometimes when you've been in a business for quite a long time, I think we all do this, we take certain things for granted. And one of the things that I took for granted for many years was the idea that there is one way, a best way, to ask someone for money. Right? That's sort of, you know, you sort of think you have to learn how to do it in the way that's best. And as a consultant in the nonprofit world, I did a lot of training. You know, people would hire me to help with a capital campaign, and I would go and train their volunteers to ask. And at the end of a bunch of these trainings, and I think I'm a pretty good trainer, frankly, but at the end of these trainings...
You certainly have that reputation.
Yeah, well, I think I'm pretty good at it. And so it was very humbling when at the end of some of these trainings I'd realize that the people who had walked in, you know, ready to go and ask and just excited to learn a little more, walked out excited and ready to ask. And the people who walked in timid and not sure they could ever master this asking business walked out timid and not sure they could master the asking business. And that got me thinking that maybe something was wrong, that maybe something was wrong in the approach, and that maybe there is not just one way, one right way to ask for gifts, that maybe one size doesn't fit all. And that sort of notion, that idea that just as we as individuals are different, all of us are different, we all have different temperaments and styles, maybe there was more than one very effective way to ask for gifts. And what I've written in this book, Asking Styles, Harness Your Personal Fundraising Power, is I've written up a very simple, easy-to-remember system that helps people find the way to ask that suits them best.
And there are four asking styles, is that correct?
That's right. There are four asking styles. They're built on a pretty simple grid. If you think about whether you are an extrovert or an introvert, think of that as a vertical axis. And you think, and most of us know whether we're extroverts or introverts, right? If you've taken Myers-Briggs, for example, you have a sense of that. What are you, Ted? Are you an extrovert or an introvert?
I think I'm pretty much an extrovert.
An extrovert, okay.
Yeah.
I too am an extrovert. And if you put that axis, that vertical axis, you cross it with a horizontal axis, and on one side you have intuitive and the other side is analytic. And, you know, most of us know where we fit on that too. People who are intuitive sort of feel their way into decisions, and then they look and make sure the facts bear them out. And people who are analytic do their factual homework first and then come up with their ideas and their beliefs from that. And if you look at these four characteristics, extrovert, introvert, intuitive, analytic, and you put them on a grid, you come up with four styles: rainmaker, go-getter, kindred spirit, and mission controller. And it turns out that each style is more comfortable asking in really quite a distinct and different way from the other styles. So that was the idea. It was a big aha. And, you know, I developed that material over some time through Asking Matters with my partner there, Brian Saber. And when I felt like the material had really matured, I sat and wrote a book about it. So it's gotten actually great response both.
Well, I would
when
imagine
I train
it would, because
subject.
I think most of us, when you put it in terms of rainmaker, go-getter, mission controller, and kindred spirit, those of us who have been involved with fundraising certainly can find ourselves, but I think we also can find volunteers that we've worked with who fit in different categories, and sometimes I think it can be frustrating that maybe they're not just like us, and you're really kind of giving everyone permission to not be just alike.
That's right. That's right. I mean, I'm even giving introverts an opportunity to say, hey, maybe I could be good at this too. I mean, I can't tell you how many people have come to me and have said, you know, I really, because I'm introverted, I never thought I could do this well. And what I've learned from this system is that introverts often have one of the great characteristics of good fundraisers, and that is that they tend to be good listeners.
Mm-hmm. Right? Help us give us sort of an example or paint the picture of what I imagine to be opposite ends of the spectrum. So you've got
sure.
the introverted intuitive, which would be
yeah.
your kindred spirit. Talk to us about what that person might be like versus the analytical extrovert, which is your rainmaker.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. You should know, Ted, that I'm married to someone who is my polar opposite. We've been married for a long time. And watching the way we are as individuals really, and how different we are, what our differences are, really helped me develop this system. I kind of sat there and said, gee, I wonder if my husband, who is analytic and an introvert, I said, I wonder if he could be a good fundraiser. And, you know, so that sort of thinking is what got me going on it. You bring up a kindred spirit. These are the people who are introverts and intuitives. Now, one way to describe a kindred spirit is these are the people who really are moved by the stories, by the people who are helped in our business. These are the people who are heartfelt, who really care. They tend to be on the tender side, right? No, hearing no is difficult for them, perhaps more difficult than it is for their opposite. The person diagonally across from them is a rainmaker. That's an extrovert and an analytic. Now, rainmakers tend to be goal-oriented. They tend to be competitive. For them to go and ask a friend for a gift as well, of course. That's what are my friends for, right? I'm going to ask them to help me get over
right.
the goal.
It's a good cause. I believe I've
right.
done the work. They're
exactly.
they're going to follow me because
exactly.
they know that I'm good at this.
Right, exactly. And that sort of thinking for a kindred spirit is much harder. For a kindred spirit, they're tender. They don't want to put their friends in an awkward position. They feel like if they put their friends in a position that they have to say no, that they will have done their friends a disservice. So while rainmakers are really happy to ask their friends, kindred spirits would rather not. Now, how can a kindred spirit be a good fundraiser if they're not going to ask their friends for gifts? You know, there are many people in all of the organizations that we work with who support those organizations and who are going to give a gift. So why not assign those people to your kindred spirits? Assign the people who are going to say yes. You know, with the drop in donor retention rates, if we spend more time talking to people who have already given, who are likely to say yes, we're likely to increase our retention rates. Right, because we spend more time talking to those people. Kindred spirits are perfectly set up to talk and willing, not necessarily to talk to their friends, but to talk to the people who are likely donors, people who have already expressed an interest
so,
in our organization.
So have your kindred spirits really work hard on renewals and have your
sure.
rainmakers out there doing prospecting?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Let
or have your rainmakers out there talking to the people who are the largest donors.
Okay.
Right.
Let me try another approach. So your kindred spirits might be more cause oriented. They're out there talking about the need, whereas your rainmakers are out there saying that this is an efficient, well-run organization. We've got the analytics to say
yep.
the need is there. We
yep.
can show you the charts and the bar graphs.
That's right.
And which would just not be of interest to the kindred spirits. They would be talking about the children who are in need and
that's
the,
right.
pulling the heart. So. It's two opposite sides of getting to the same place, and it's understanding the skill sets of your donor, your prospects.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we don't have to do it the same way, right? You're never going to get a kindred spirit to approach someone to help reach the goal, to help some, you know, to ask for a gift based on the numbers and the analysis of the organization. But
well, I think
boy,
your work
can they tell a story.
Yeah, well, I think your work is brilliant, and so much so that my fear is that as a quote-unquote profession, much of what you speak about here seems lost in the rush for commonality of approach. Because it seems to me that just as you have intuitive and rainmaker, and we're kind of focusing on those because I think those are polar opposites that are really, really easy to understand, is it would seem to me that a good development officer needs to understand that a direct mail campaign could have different approaches as well, that capital campaigns would have different approaches, and it's far more individual than it is mechanics.
Yes, and it seems to me, Ted, that the most effective fundraising, and maybe this is because this is the work I've been doing for so long, the most effective fundraising is the fundraising where you really get to know the people who can make significant gifts, and you ask them in face-to-face, in person, for money. Right? That's a very effective way to raise money. At that level, we really can afford to individualize our approaches.
Right.
And we should be doing that. Now, I would love to see everything individualized, but as you know and I know, you know, there's a limited amount of time that we have. Most of our organizations are stretched. The staff is stretched. But anyone who has a major gift program, anyone who is doing a capital campaign, anyone who puts time and energy into actually asking people face-to-face for money should pay attention to asking styles,
mm-hmm.
not only for volunteers, but also for staff. To help staff members do it in a way that's going to make them feel more comfortable.
Yeah, there isn't just one way from the top to bottom, from board to staff. Now, I think it's a little bit easier, you might agree, to understand the polar opposites of kindred spirit and rainmaker, as we just discussed. But I think it's a little bit harder to understand the other axis, the mission controllers versus the go-getters. I guess the extroverted intuitive is almost, and maybe you wouldn't quite agree with this, is almost sort of like the gold standard. You want that person who's willing to be out there in a very, very public way but can also pull the heartstrings and understand the heartstrings. But is the analytic introvert the hardest nut to crack?
All right. So I actually don't think that any of these really are gold standards.
Okay.
If I really had to pick one, I would push to rainmaker, I think, the people
okay.
who are better closers. Rainmakers tend to be very good closers. People who are on the intuitive side, like go-getters, the people who are extroverted and intuitive, they much prefer the process to the closing. So
they might not actually
need
get the gift, but they'll talk to you forever.
They'll talk forever because they love looking at what the opportunities are. They love creating new opportunities. They love generating ideas. For them, when, you know, to bring something to a close, they feel like they've lost a little, right?
Right. But is the analytic introvert the person who never can get quite there because they haven't seen the perfect data? We need one more report. Haven't seen the research. We need one more. And the fear is
right.
that we don't want to get to closure.
Yeah, I think that the analytic, the mission controllers, as I call them, the people in the bottom left of this chart, certainly want to do all of their homework. Excuse me. They want to see all of the all the facts. They will read the annual report. They'll master the budget. They'll remember the facts. They want as much information as they can, and sometimes it feels as though they never have enough. But when they're ready and when you get them out the door to ask someone for a gift, they will do it in a totally planned, totally responsible, totally predictable way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's power in that, right? And particularly when you put them together with certain kinds of donors, with donors that are looking for that kind of analysis,
mm-hmm.
perhaps foundation donors or corporate donors. Right now, when you look at a go-getter, the intuitives, the extrovert intuitives, they're great at generating energy in the room, right? They walk into a room and they can light people up with excitement over a cause, right? If you combine them with someone who can actually close or someone who can actually provide factual backup like a mission controller, then you have it all covered. So one of the ways in which this system can help is that it gives you a rational way to think about pairing solicitors, which is often helpful.
It is. I'm just wondering if and again, I'm not trying to, you know, sort of put any particular group on the shelf, but the most difficult for most development officers to place would be the mission controllers, wouldn't they?
You know, I think that what makes them the most difficult is simply that you often don't think of them as great solicitors. But if you understand what they bring to the table and you place them because of that, they can be fantastically successful.
Okay.
You know, these are the people who will really follow through. When they say they're going to do something, they tend to do it. They don't get carried off by their own excitement.
They're going to know all the facts inside and out,
yep.
probably better than the author of the document.
Right.
But they're also not going to be likely to be comfortable actually making an ask.
Yeah, you know, that may or may not be, well, they may not be comfortable doing it, but my belief about mission controllers are that their comfort is not an issue for them.
Yeah.
When they agree to do something and say they're going to do something, they will do it and they will follow up because they believe in following through, right? For them, that's important.
I'm just wondering if you think that if you find that you have mission controllers, and I think we've all had them, and they can be wonderfully knowledgeable but maddening in their dependency on data. I'm wondering if instead of seeing them as true solicitors or actually fundraisers, if these aren't maybe your resident experts. You pair them with someone else.
Ted, it sounds to me like you've had your experience with mission controllers.
I've also been fascinated by your book. So I really think everybody needs to know this book.
You know, I think you're exactly right, though. If you can have a mission controller in the role of resident expert, it's fantastic. You pair a mission controller with a go-getter who is, you know, kind of always out there on the front edge of energy.
Mm.
And if when the person being solicited says, oh, and, you know, tell me what percentage of your budget is such and such, the go-getter can say, oh, well, John can help us with that, right?
He's got the expertise on that. I don't worry about those things.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't worry about those things. And in fact, people who are go-getters tend not to remember those things.
Right.
Even if they knew them, they tend not to remember them.
Right.
So rather than trying to say, listen, everybody should be able to remember everything and do everything properly, why don't we say instead, listen, go-getters, you bring a fantastic magic to a meeting,
mm-hmm.
and you need someone who will be your resident expert.
Right. So I think that access, it really makes more sense to me as a pairing or a team.
Right.
I could imagine, although it does take skill and training, I could imagine a rainmaker going and making an ask on their own. Of course, they're going to be looking for the close. They're going to be very efficient in what they do. I could also imagine a kindred spirit going and successfully making. It's going to take them forever. They're going to, you know, have to talk and meet many, many times because they can't really quite make the close, but the donor just might might make the clothes themselves,
right?
Because their hearts have become entwined with each other.
Exactly.
So you can imagine those two really making that work.
Yeah. But for you, imagining a mission controller doing that is more challenging.
It'd be quite a challenge. Now we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back from the break, what I wanted to ask you is if what you think in terms of the four asking styles in regard to an actual development officer. So not just looking at the volunteers that we work with, but overlaying these, giving structures on the development officers.
Yeah.
And so that will be our topic when we come back, and we'll be right back in just a few moments. We just have a few things we want to cover over here on the break. One is I do want to make note that we do not have our regular Nonprofit Coach radio show next Tuesday as we normally would, because we're partnering with the CAF America Radio Network to bring you a Giving in the Asia Pacific region live from Singapore. So I will be in Singapore hosting that show. You'll be able to find that show, as you always do, at tedhart.com. You'll also be able to find that at cafamerica.org. So that's a very special notice and drawing attention to giving in the Asia-Pacific region. I'm very, very pleased to announce that for the third year in a row, the fine folks at Giving USA will be using the Nonprofit Coach radio show to make their first announcement on the 2013 Giving USA report. That will take place here live on the Nonprofit Coach at 12 noon Eastern on June 18th. Now, hang tight there. We're going to be sending you a notice because it's possible that for that first announcement to even be even earlier, that show may move to 11:30 a.m. Eastern on June 18th, but will take place on June 18th. And then the final show here on the Nonprofit Coach will be Helen Brown and Jennifer Fila, who will be talking to us about prospect research for fundraising here on the Nonprofit Coach. That will wind out June, and then we will be going on to our summer hiatus for the Nonprofit Coach. The Nonprofit Coach will come back live on September 10th. So make sure that you are getting your newsletters by signing up at tedhart.com, and we will keep you posted on all of the wonderful fall programming that we'll have for you here on the Nonprofit Coach. We're going to get a quick update on some information or some services that's available to you from Google, and as soon as that's completed, we'll be heading right back over to our wonderful Page 2 expert, Andrea Kelstedt.
Every day, millions of people are online, many of whom want to help, volunteer, and donate to a good cause. Nonprofit organizations can use many Google tools to reach potential donors around the world and raise more money. And as an approved nonprofit, it doesn't cost a thing. It's all free. Google Grants helps you promote your website with free advertising on Google.com through the AdWords program. With Google AdWords, you create ads and choose words or phrases related to your nonprofit organization. When people search on Google using one of your phrases, your ad will appear next to the Google search results under the Sponsored Links section. AdWords allows you to target certain geographic areas, dates, and times of day for your ads to appear. YouTube for Nonprofits is another tool that can boost donations to your organization. The program offers a number of perks that get your message out there and drive viewers to take action and donate. You can list your organization on YouTube's nonprofit channel and add call-to-action overlays on your videos to drive viewers to donate. Need help analyzing your website traffic and marketing effectiveness? Google Analytics is a free tool that will give you rich insight and help you increase the number of people that visit and donate to your site. Google Analytics can be invaluable to many people in your organization, such as development directors, marketing staff, and your web team. There are many other tools that can help you reach more donors and raise funds, like Google Checkout, where you can process credit card donations with no transaction fee, Google Sites to create a free website, and Website Optimizer, where you can figure out the best landing pages to turn site visitors into donors. To get started, apply for Google for Nonprofits today.
Remember, our podcasts and archives are always available 24 hours a day at tedhart.com. Click on Radio Links. If you're listening live today, the phone lines are open. Call in and ask a question by dialing 347-324-3080. Now, back to the Nonprofit Coach with Ted Hart.
And we're back here live on the Nonprofit Coach. This is your host, Ted Hart. We're live here with Andrea Kilstedt, who is the author of the fantastic new book, Asking Styles. So, Andrea, the four asking styles, which are rainmaker, go-getter, mission controller, and kindred spirits, which I absolutely love. What about the development officer, the vice president of development, the person in charge of fundraising from the staff side? How does this get overlaid on them, and are there some real no-nos in terms of hiring someone of a particular style to head up on a professional way?
That's an interesting question, Ted. You know, I've had a number of people ask me whether there's not some kind of a tool or some way they can adapt the concepts in this book about asking styles to the hiring process. And I'm a little anxious about it. I mean, the fundamental concept behind this work is not that there are some better styles than others, but that no matter what your style, you can use it to effectively ask for gifts and to effectively fundraise. So it really is a strengths-based concept, not saying this is better and this is worse. More to the point is that I think the asking styles concept in a development shop can be tremendously helpful because it gets people recognizing the strengths of the folks they're working with and appreciating them rather than being frustrated by them. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you have a development director who's working with and often frustrated by their executive director because the executive director is not good at closing a gift, right? You know, they talk and talk and talk and don't close a gift. From the asking styles perspective, the development director might understand that their executive director is a go-getter. Mm-hmm. And while they're not good at closing gifts, they are very good at sparking these conversations. If these two, the development director and executive director, can then have a conversation about their styles, they can support one another. Right?
I absolutely agree with you.
So that's the way it can be helpful.
I absolutely agree with you. And that's sort of, again, the pairing concept of that you would use with volunteers, you would use with other professional staff. And I think you're absolutely right about that. But I'm thinking in terms of the hiring of the person. So it's not so much how do I support someone in the program or how do I support the executive director, because I think your asking styles are brilliant to understanding that, because you could have almost any kind of staff person. I could imagine having lots of staff people who would be mission controllers.
Yeah, you know, here's what I would recommend. I really recommend that the strongest development shops, the strongest staffing, is a staffing that brings in a mixture of people. Mm-hmm. And what you often see is that people hire in their own likeness. So if you have a staff person who's a mission controller, they might feel like they are more comfortable hiring other mission controllers. That's what tends to get people in trouble.
Right.
So if you can hire in a way that actually has all of the styles covered, then your development shop is likely to be stronger, particularly if you can use the strengths of each style rather than being frustrated by the things they don't do so well.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I think multiple styles, and particularly since you may not be hiring all these people, you may have inherited some of these people, you can see where, again, just as you might have with a volunteer, with a staff person, you could see that you could do an awful lot with a mission controller or a kindred spirit as part of a team.
Right.
But again, to the leader, to the vice president of development, or the person who has been hired to be the staff person, the head of philanthropy, I'm just wondering, it seems to me that you really need to have a rainmaker, maybe a go-getter, but a go-getter really isn't going to close those gifts. And if you think of the profession, you think of the folks who are well-known, people like yourself and others, they're going to tend to be more extroverts because
yeah, so,
I think it's hard to fundraise from behind a desk.
Now, Ted, let me just catch you up on that. I'm going to be a little contrary here.
Well, there you go. That's why we're here.
So,
I'm trying to find those buttons to push.
Yeah, right. So you pushed one here. So when I started asking matters with my partner, Brian Saber, we sort of really built out this concept and in Asking Matters. And in fact, if your listeners want to get a handle on what their asking style is, they can go to askingmatters.com, and there's a little 30-question true-false assessment that will give them a notion of their asking styles. It's free, open for everybody, easy to take, takes about 2 or 3 minutes. So one of the things that Brian and I found as we were developing this material and fleshing it out is that I was a go-getter and he was a kindred spirit. Now, Brian Saber, my partner, has been a frontline fundraiser his whole professional career. I mean, not just a consultant like I've been, but he's actually been on the front lines asking for big gifts. He's very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so interesting as we worked together and got to know one another better and fleshed this out to understand that his strengths as a kindred spirit were tremendous because he is a good listener. He doesn't need to be out front. He doesn't need to take up airtime. You know, I'm inclined to take up airtime, as you can tell.
Well, those make the best guests on the radio show.
Right. But not necessarily the best solicitors. Right. So I think it's entirely possible for someone who is an introvert, either a mission controller or a kindred spirit, to be very good at this business simply because they are comfortable sitting back and letting the donor take up more space. Right. We know in the end that this fundraising business needs to be more about the donors than it is about the needs of our cause. And the people who are more introverted do that more effectively. So I think the way we come at asking, that, you know, what we bring to it is that the people who are out there, who are the salespeople, are the greatest. I'm really not so sure that's true. I think that the other skills are at least as powerful, and frankly, sometimes more powerful. So and you know, you should talk to my partner Brian Saber about Asking Matters. He would be an interesting guest for you.
Well, ask him to.
He's very articulate, even though he's a kindred spirit. He's very articulate, but he will say right up front he is not only an introvert, but he's shy to boot. Now, you know, he has developed coping skills, which make him very.
So
you know,
he's had to be very.
Able.
But doesn't that make him? While he may be sort of more of a closeted kindred spirit,
I think he's a real kindred spirit. I think we all, no matter what your style, we all learn coping mechanisms that adapt, that take on some of the trappings of other styles. It's just that certain things are more comfortable and natural for us. So you know, Brian has learned to behave like an extrovert. That's not uncommon.
Okay.
Right. Those of us who are extroverts learn after a while that people don't much like us if we do all the talking.
Yeah. If you're extrovert all the time, people tend to be like,
"Oh, I don't want that." Right.
And that's what makes the world go round, right? Yeah. So while you can, I think that it's more likely that a rainmaker can go it alone, but it's best to pair in most cases. Because a rainmaker can come on too strong, the kindred spirit can soften that, the mission controller can bring the expertise to an intuitive go-getter.
Yep. Well, and let me add something else to that as well. That you know, we haven't at all talked about the donor style. Right, and you know, often
does this work for the donor style?
So how do we accommodate a donor style? Because of course the donor has a style too. Like everybody has a style, right? There's nobody is stylish.
Does it fit this mix, or is that your next book?
No, it's not my next book. But what I believe is this: I have two next books in mind. But But neither one of them will be that. The what I believe is true is that if we understand our own styles, and if we understand this very simple sort of way to think about styles, then we can pick up clues about who the donor is. And if there are two of us in the room, if we have paired solicitors, if we have a rainmaker and a kindred spirit, for example, and we really are watching the donor, no matter who the donor is, one of the people in the room is going to be able to match their style. Right? Because if the donor is an introvert, the kindred, you know, if a donor is an introvert, the kindred spirit will be there. If a donor is analytic, the rainmaker will be there. If the donor is intuitive, the kindred spirit picks up that.
Right. So, well, but how many people can you send in?
Well, no, only two. You only have to send two because if you have two on opposite quadrants, you have all four characteristics covered.
Okay, so harnessing your personal fundraising power is a call for the buddy system.
That's right. Well, it's also a call for just understanding your own strengths.
Okay.
And being
okay.
able to capitalize on your strengths rather than beat yourself up for your weaknesses.
Because you can imagine a wonderfully thoughtful yet introverted donor is going to be blown away by a rainmaker.
That's right. That's right.
And probably having a hard time connecting to make that gift.
That's exactly right. And sometimes a rainmaker, someone who's extroverted, is totally oblivious to what's going on. They're having such a good time talking about ideas.
They don't even know that they're killing the gift.
They don't even know they're killing it.
They
right?
walk
they
out of there thinking, wow, they just listened to every word I said.
That's
they thought
right.
I was terrific. And
that's
we don't
right.
get the
they
gift.
Walk out thinking, wasn't I great?
Wasn't I great? Exactly. Whereas the kindred spirit, if you've done the buddy system right, the kindred spirit who was in that meeting can say, what were you thinking?
Yes, exactly.
What were you thinking?
Exactly. Yeah. And
but,
you know,
but
I
if they're a good buddy system, then the kindred spirit would have stepped in and saved
yes,
the day by understanding
right.
that they needed to connect with that donor
that's
because
right.
they read the room.
That's right. And, you know, I also think that even if you just have one person going in, if they are aware of different styles and how they manifest, they become more sensitive to what's going on in the room. They start looking for it. So even without a pairing, you
and isn't that the essence of becoming a professional fundraiser or a development professional as opposed to just being a fundraiser? In that wherever you are on that spectrum, which as you're pointing out, you could be anywhere on that spectrum, you do have to learn other skills because if you are the only person. Then, in fact, you may need to learn from others.
That's right.
I think we do have a caller, Andrea, so I'm just going to see if we do have a caller here on the switchboard. Caller, area code 732, you're live here on the Nonprofit Coach. You have a question for Andrea?
Yes, I do have a question. I was listening a little bit to your nonprofit and how to get into it. My one question to you was, I do a lot of work in the community, and I host a lot of teen dances. Because the area where I live in, there's rarely anything for teenagers to do. So I host parties once a month for the teens in the area. I usually get from 400 to 500 kids that attend these dances.
Wow.
So yes. And
that's a lot of kids. Holy moly.
That's a lot of kids. And they all come together from all different towns, and there's no violence, no fight, anything. I usually get parents to come in and chaperone. You know, the police help me. Now, my question to you is, I want to register this business, but I don't know which way to go. I'm thinking nonprofit would be the way to go. Just because I'm starting to get a lot of sponsors.
Right. Yeah, you probably have a better answer for this than I do.
With these sponsors.
Ted, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What I'm immediately thinking of is who's covering the insurance and who has the liability for these dances.
Well, the place has their own insurance.
Uh-huh.
And the DJ that I hire had their own insurance. The security team had their own insurance. And I'm aware that once I register the business, I'm going to have to get my own insurance.
Yeah. Well, but I think that the risk is there for you. I certainly would incorporate one way or the other and make sure that you have business insurance. And the question really is are you doing this as a community service? Is this something that is there are a number of people that are involved with, or is this a business? Is this a livelihood for you?
You know, it's really I really don't want anything out of it. Since I've been doing these parties, I really like doing them for the kids.
Well, I would certainly contact an attorney to get the organization incorporated. But I would explore the nonprofit approach to this if, in fact, you view this as a community service, and there are a lot of other volunteers who are getting involved with this. But understand that as a nonprofit, you don't own the corporation. There are no assets for you. You're creating this for the community good.
Okay.
The only way that you would own it or have any equity would be if you owned it yourself. So, did we answer your questions, caller?
Yes, you did.
Great.
Yes,
well, thank you so much for calling in. We do have another caller here at the end of the show here. Area code 862, you're live here on the Nonprofit Coach.
Hi there, it's Brian Saber, kindred
Brian
spirit.
Saber,
Brian
Saber, the true kindred spirit is here.
I am.
So how have you coped? Have you felt that you've had to, or we're learning here, each of these have their own special flavor, but do we all have to learn, or can kindred spirits just be kindred spirits?
You have to be yourself. I cannot be anything but a kindred spirit. It took me many years to learn that, and it actually took our work on the asking styles for me to feel comfortable with that concept and to stop thinking I needed to be the life of the special event or that I had to do some of the other fundraising work that's just not in my wheelhouse, and that makes me extremely uncomfortable.
So do you have T-shirts? Are you out and proud as a kindred spirit?
Very, very. I carry the flag at all times now, and I try to convince my fellow kindred spirits to be themselves. And if you don't want to be schmoozing at a special event, let someone else do that.
Right. So that's why I so much appreciate you calling in and giving us an opportunity to chat with you. So do you find, and it may not be just unique to kindred spirits, but do you also find that this is better done or preferably done as a buddy system?
I am a huge believer in pairing solicitors. No matter how great you might think you are as an individual solicitor, there are cases where one-on-one, the intimacy of that is important and powerful, but in most fundraising cases, it improves the solicitation to have a partner in many ways and makes it a much more enjoyable experience, which is important as well because we're all doing this whether we're volunteers or employees because we care, and it's not an easy thing for most people to do. Doing it in pairs makes it a much more rewarding experience. So I'm a big believer, yeah.
And who do you pair best with, or you can pair with any of the asking styles? In other words, would you successfully pair with a mission controller or better with a rainmaker?
Yeah. Pairing with anyone who is a style other than your own is helpful. Pairing diagonally across our grid, so for me with a rainmaker, is the ideal because I get not only the extrovert who's going to be great at opening the conversation and maybe carrying the day conversationally, but also someone who's more analytical than I am. So I'm coming in with my story, and the rainmaker is coming in with some of the facts and figures that don't necessarily resonate for me. Now, when I'm a staff person, I've got more of those facts and figures at my fingertips because it's part of my work. But if as a volunteer and I do solicit, I just was doing some campaign soliciting, actually.
Right. So, Brian, then, I'm going to agree with Andrea. You should come on and be a guest. We're almost out of time here, and it's wonderful to have you join us. Andrea, I want to make sure that my listeners know how they can reach you.
Yes, they can reach me at Andrea@AskingMatters.com.
Terrific. And Brian Saber, thank you so much for being our guest today. Andrea, did you have one other thing to share?
No, I was just going to encourage people to go to www.AskingMatters.com and take the Asking Style Assessment.
That'll there you go. Thank you so much, both of you. Have wonderful summers. Brian, I'm hoping that you will come back in the fall and let us really get into how Kindred Spirits can be successful. That is our show for today. Thank you for joining us here on The Nonprofit Coach.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Coach Radio Show with Ted Hart. Tell all your friends to check out our production schedule and download our iPod and iPad-friendly podcasts at tedhart.com. Thanks for listening to The Nonprofit Coach.